And welcome to worship. It's good to see you here this morning and to people on Zoom as well. Alistair is going to take us through the intimations.
Good morning. Morning, and now this on. Yes, yes. Welcome to our service this morning. And intimations are up there. Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. Visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book. The walking group, next church.
Is it not on? Now that's a new word for it.
We're leaning into it, apologies.
I don't know if I'm on.
It is on.
I've had to start it. Do I have to start again? Because the screen's changed again. I was all right till I came in here, you know. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or visitor. Visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book. Walking group. This bit doesn't make sense, but never mind. The next... The next church is next Sunday. No. Walking group is today around Gartenwon Dam. So meet at Kenhill Church car park, which is out there, at 2 p.m. Kurt Session is a special meeting on Thursday, 1st of June at 7:30 p.m. Our next catch day is Sunday, the 4th of June. Chocolate wanted. For the gala this year, the 10th of June, we are reviving the chocolate dip. Please bring donations of unwanted chocolate to church any Sunday before then. Gala week, over 65's afternoon tea. You're cordially invited to the gala committee's afternoon tea event for over 65's on Thursday, 8th of June, between 1:30 and 3:30 p.m. in Cairnhill Church. Sandwiches, scones and sweet treats plus tea in a wide range of flavours, all provided by Bakes by Nicky. Add names to the list at the spa by 2nd of June, please. Places are limited. Other intimations. There are further intimations on the printed sheet. These can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you do not have a copy. Finally, here is a quick look at the order of service. Anything else?
I think that's us sorted. It is good to be in worship. And it is good that we can laugh together, because that is part of being a fellowship of God's people. We're going to begin our service by singing hymn 595. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Well, I need to speak. Right. Talk a wee bit amongst ourselves. Has the... Well... Would anybody like to be part of the tech team? Yes, normally I'm standing here trying to, you know, be the minister while I see all the panicked faces going. But that's why we have technology. It's there to trip people up. And it happens to all sorts of churches. And I have to be very careful when I'm visiting, because I've always got a temptation to go and try and fix things. And when you're visiting a congregation, it's bad manners to kind of push people out of the way to fix bits and pieces that aren't working right. So it might be as well just to be poised like a coiled spring, so that when the music starts, you're ready to leap. Because,
ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure.
Folks, I think it's going to be one of those days. You can just tell. Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, from you we receive every good gift, and from your great goodness to us we present this offering. Bless our gifts as they are used in the work of your church and to your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And it looks like Alistair is even poised to lead us in prayer. Thanks, Alistair.
Just before we say the Lord's Prayer, I've included a prayer by, John Stott's daily prayer. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this day of Pentecost, we bring you our worship and praise. You are holy, the only God, and your deeds are wonderful. You are strong, you are great, you are the Most High. You are Almighty. You, Holy Father, are King of heaven and earth. Lord God, you are three and one. You are supreme, the true and living God. You are love, you are wisdom, you are humility, you are endurance. In you we find our rest and peace. You are joy and gladness, a God of justice and fairness. All our riches are found in you, your grace sufficient for all our needs. You have graciously brought us to this day, reminding us of the time when you poured out your Holy Spirit in tongues of fire upon your apostles, filling them with the gift of your grace. So, most wonderful Lord, may we too receive this blessing. And merciful God, as we seek to praise you in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, may we share in your eternal kingdom. For your name is worthy of all honour and majesty, and you are to be glorified in hymns and blessing. Father, Son and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Lord, we also come before you with our prayers of confession. And God, we ask you to be patient with us. We can each say, have mercy upon me, a sinner. We thank you that in Jesus we are redeemed sinners, and that gives us hope. You know our every weakness, the temptations and dangers we face every day, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Please hear our personal prayers. Save us and forgive us. And so, holy, blessed, and glorious Trinity, three persons and one God, have mercy upon us. Almighty God, creator and sustainer of the universe, we worship you. Lord Jesus Christ, Saviour and Lord of the world, we worship you. Holy Spirit, sanctifier of the people of God, we worship you. Heavenly Father, we pray that this day we may live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, we pray that this day we each may take up our cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, we pray that this day you will fill us with yourself. Cause your fruit to ripen in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So, Father, hear us now as we join in saying these words of prayer together, as we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn 600, Spirit of God, Unseen as the Wind. During this week, I have been at General Assembly in Edinburgh. Much of the business of General Assembly is to do with the governance of the church. Some years, there are contentious issues to be discussed and difficult decisions to be made. In other years, the business can seem much more mundane. If you've watched General Assembly online or in television broadcasts, you will have noticed that the Lord High Commissioner, the representative of the Crown, sits in the gallery behind the moderator. That gallery is officially not part of General Assembly. The only person that speaks from there is the Lord High Commissioner, and at the invitation of the moderator. But a whole variety of people appear on that gallery, and one of the highlights of General Assembly is when an important guest is asked to address the Assembly, and we pause as they come down the stairs and in through the doors and into Assembly to address us. This year, one of the guests was the Chief Rabbi, Sir Ephraim Mirvis. We were talking about Jewish-Christian relationships, and he was there to hear the report and was invited to speak. In his address, he talked about the Jewish Feast of Weeks. This takes place 50 days after Passover. Now, for those of you who are clever and know that the word Pentecost means 50 days, you'll recognise that the Feast of Weeks and Pentecost are the same thing. It is simply the Greek word that is being used in the New Testament. Pentecost was one of the harvest festivals celebrated in Israel. Specifically, it was the wheat harvest. Last week in the story of the Ascension, we read that the disciples returned to Jerusalem, and in those 10 days between Ascension and Pentecost, they waited, they met for prayer, and they did a bit of housekeeping, I suppose you would call it. They found a replacement for Judas. The 11 were restored to the number 12. But the main reason for being in Jerusalem was because Jesus told them, wait until you receive power from on high. They are waiting for what Jesus promised. They're waiting for the Holy Spirit. But of course, until that event, they can have no idea what Jesus meant by what he said. All they have is Jesus' promise of the impossible, that they will be filled with the power of God. And then they are going to go and do the impossible. They're going to take the story of Jesus, the gospel, as far as the ends of the earth. It was that reminder by the chief rabbi that Pentecost is a Jewish festival that made me wonder in that moment whether the celebration of the Feast of Weeks of Pentecost was a welcome distraction for the disciples. Instead of waiting for a time unknown, for an event unknown, and to go and do the unknowable, they have a festival that they know and recognize and are able to celebrate God's goodness. The gift of the Holy Spirit arrives when the disciples are busy with the things of God rather than worrying about how they are going to fulfill Jesus' command. Their attention is on celebrating God's goodness rather than themselves. Jesus' promise is fulfilled in a moment when the disciples are caught up in the worship of God. We're going to read some words from the prophet Joel, which foretell the day of Pentecost, and then we're going to read the story of the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Elaine is going to read for us.
I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Our next reading is from Acts chapter 2, and we read from verse 1 to 12, the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Amen. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. As we come to the next hymn, it looks like two hymns, but it is exactly the same tune. So, you've got two verses. Have you?
And you have two verses on the screen.
Right. Okay, that's good. I just thought it was worth a wee check. This is a hymn that I've always thought of also as a prayer. So we're going to sing "Spirit of the Living God."
Oh, please.
For those of you who have good and encyclopedic memories, you might recognise the quotation from John Stott. And that's because I used that just a few years ago. I found it because I was checking back to see what I had done on other Pentecost Sundays. It's always good to know that you're not repeating exactly what you said the previous year. Although there is the joke about the minister who decided that the congregation looked like they were asleep, so he used exactly the same sermon a second week and nobody said anything. And so he thought, well, I'll do it a third week. And somebody said, I have an awful feeling you've said that before. Anyway, it's always good to check. And I found this quotation, and maybe it was spending a week at General Assembly that made the words stand out, and I couldn't find something that just kind of stood out. There were lots of good quotations, but this one just seemed to fit. What we need is not more learning, more eloquence, more persuasion, not more organisation, but more power from the Holy Spirit. It will come as no surprise to you that a fair bit of our discussions on all sorts of aspects of church life at General Assembly were about our current crisis in the church in Scotland. How do we deal with declining membership and finance? Too many buildings and too few ministers. Sitting reflecting on the past week, it might seem that we spent a fair bit of time on the tools we need to speak to 21st century Scotland. What we need in terms of training and how to present the message in a way that is relevant in this century. How do we persuade people to think about faith in a materialist society? How do we talk about eternity to those whose minds are caught up in today? How do we organise the church as a denomination and in partnership with other denominations? These are all important questions, and we should not in any way belittle them. But do we need more learning, more eloquence, more persuasion, more organisation? What we need is to remember whose we are. And that was the theme running through General Assembly. It was the title page of what is called the Blue Book, that is, the reports to General Assembly. Now, it's no longer a book because it was online, but it is still the Blue Book. It's never known as anything else. And there on the front, it said, remember who you are. So I chose that quotation from John Stott to use again. I went looking to see if I could find out when it was written, but I couldn't find a precise date. All I know is that John Stott was a much quoted theologian and Christian writer during my youth and had been for some time. I suspect that these words come from at least 50 years ago, if not more. In other words, there were those in the church warning us of the things we are now grappling with, and doing so a long time ago. The problem in any organisation facing decline is there is a temptation to begin to look inwards. This is a real problem for the church, because our reason for being is to look outwards. as a number of folk have pointed out, the church is unique as an organisation. It exists for the benefit of those who are not its members, rather than for the membership. When we become absorbed by survival in an organisation, when we feel under attack, the temptation is to adopt a fortress mentality. If we're feeling that society is against us, well, let's close the doors and bar the windows. Let's circle the wagons, or whatever picture you have. Our thoughts turn inwards and we find ourselves spending our energy on what is sometimes likened to rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Now, there is a place for prudence. It is right to be careful in the use of resource, and Jesus was clear in his teaching on that. The problem we face as human beings is that we can take our finite existence as a way of understanding God. We can take our prudence in using what we have to a place where it is nonsense. We can behave as if God himself is limited. We can treat the Holy Spirit as being finite. If we think about the disciples between Ascension and Pentecost, they are a very few ordinary men and women. They have been told what is expected of them. Humanly speaking, they have very little resource. They know that Jesus specifically called 12 of them to be a particular group. And so with the loss of Judas, they restore that. This is what they know. There are the 12. There are the women who played a key role in Jesus' life and resurrection. There are those in a larger group who for a longer or shorter time have followed Jesus and found him to be Saviour. But they are so incredibly ordinary. Maybe picture somebody like me. Not as I am now, standing in a pulpit as a minister with my wee bit of white plastic round my neck. Rather, think of me back in 1975, when I'd hair down to here, platform shoes and big flares. When I was 18, arriving in Edinburgh in the big city, and I've often joked that English was my second language, and Rosemary's laughing. My first language being broad Gala. For those of you who don't know, Gala Shields is a very important place in the borders. Second only to Stow, I think. By accent, I was clearly identifiable as coming from the borders. And I suppose coming from Gala, we had a bit of a habit of talking about ourselves as Galileans. In the book of Acts, the disciples are clearly recognized as coming from Galilee. And there was a popular saying at the time, "Can anything good come from Galilee?" It was said of Jesus. Occasionally, the disciples did think they were special, and maybe Jesus would give them a special place in the kingdom. But most of the time, I suspect they were very aware that that was not a reality. They were just Galileans. They would have spoken some Greek, but not very well. They would have been identifiable by accent and by attitude, and, well, let's just say the Borders was usually reckoned to be at least 10 years behind everybody else, and it might have been a lot more than that. And so it was for Galilee. The disciples had had time to think through Jesus' words about them taking his message to the ends of the earth. And that sophisticated Greek world out there in the Roman Empire would have looked on the disciples as nobodies from nowhere. Judaism was regarded as really close to atheism, because any sophisticated, intelligent person knew that there was a multiplicity of gods. Who was going to listen to them? So the disciples are meeting together. They've been doing so for 10 days. They meet together as to celebrate. It's a festival, and when I was thinking about it, I thought, you know, their minds would be distracted. This is what they know. So they're celebrating God in a festival they know. And everything changes. And when you read that story, think about what Jesus said. You are going to be my witnesses, not just in Jerusalem and Judea, not even just as far as Samaria, but to the ends of the earth. And what happens is they discover that there are Jewish believers from all over the known world. At that very moment, the disciples are speaking to people from the ends of the earth. In other words, when I think about it, the impossible comes to the disciples rather than the disciples going to the impossible. And I suspect that that was a reassurance from the very first day. They're doing what Jesus said in a way that they did not imagine. On the day of Pentecost, we can assume the disciples were praising God for his gifts, the harvest, when God showers on them the Spirit. On this day of Pentecost, we too can praise God for giving us so much, so many gifts, so many blessings, a harvest to celebrate. If you think how blessed we are in this country, particularly on a beautiful day like this, look at the world around us. Look at the things that we have, the blessings that we have enjoyed today already. The things that we have that are our families, our friends, our community, our nation. We are blessed beyond measure. And into the middle of all that, the Holy Spirit. What can God do through us by the power of the Spirit? What will God do through us by his Holy Spirit? These are good questions for us as we go out into the world from here. The disciples spoke in the languages of the known world as they spoke to the world of Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection, words of salvation for the world. And we too think of that world out there that is in such need. And so we turn now to our prayers for the world. Alistair is going to lead us in our intercessions.
Let us pray once more. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we give thanks that the Lord Jesus Christ, having ascended to your right hand, did not leave his people without a helper, but sent the Holy Spirit to be their comforter and guide. Thank you that the Spirit continues to minister to the church, including sustaining and preserving those who suffer for their Christian faith. We pray that he will equip us to face any suffering, as well as for greater acts of service. As we think of our country, we pray for our police forces as they face criticism and scrutiny. We pray for comfort for the families of the two boys killed in the incident in Cardiff as they seek answers. We pray for peace in that community following the pointless vandalism afterwards, and also for the police there to be clear and how they responded. We pray too for our police officers here in Scotland, the Chief Constable stating that his force is institutionally racist. We thank you for the thin blue line who seek to uphold law and order. We pray for every officer who acts with integrity, and for those who do not, to think again. The life of every living thing is in your hand and the breath of every human being. So we intercede for those with life-limiting and terminal conditions, as well as doctors, nurses and other staff. Holy Spirit, please pour healing strength into the body, heart and spirit of those who suffer. May they receive these blessings and trust you to the very end of their lives. Lord, thank you for the dedication and skills of those working in palliative medicine, therapy, respite care, bereavement support, and other services for patients and families. We pray for our leaders, for integrity and wisdom for the King, Prime Minister, First Minister, and all those in national and local government. We pray that parliamentarians and assembly members will promote what is good and restrain evil. We ask you to raise up more leaders in our national life who follow Christ. We pray for the Church in Scotland as well as the Church of Scotland. We are well aware that there is no blueprint for doing church, no step-by-step guide that provides instant results. Jesus said simply, "Go and make disciples." But he did promise that we would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. As we think of General Assembly decisions, of Presbytery, of West Fife Village churches, we pray that the church will remember that you do not always act through the big and spectacular, the strategies and programs. You more often work through us in quiet, unseen ways, building relationships with others, yet still advancing your kingdom, building your church. May your church wait for the Spirit and respond with boldness. Father, hear us now as we bring to your own personal prayers of those people in situations in need of your love and care at this time. As So, Father, we ask you to hear our prayer. In the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
Our closing hymn is a hymn written by William Booth. We're going to use a video clip to sing this, and we hope all works well. And the words will come up on the screen, and everything is going to work perfectly. It is a really good hymn. O God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
Oh God of burning.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. Our blood brought gift today, we pray.
Spirit to serve the Lord and to glorify our God in heaven. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.